Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Now back to Ringside with the voice of small business and the champion of the entrepreneur.
Say it now, gentlemen. Undisputed heavyweight champion of the world.
The Small Business Advocate, Jim Blasingame.
We're back. 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for hanging around with me today. It's my pleasure, as always, to be with you. My website is www.jbsba.com. And this is the day, as I mentioned earlier in the hour, this is the day that we're stopping, we're kind of stopping our normal programming for our regular program, I should say. I used that word normal again, didn't I? Usually don't do that. Our regular programming, where we focus just on small business, to talk about what happened 3 years ago this week on September the 11th, 2001. And I've been talking about that previously in the hour. Steve Forbes is with us now. I wanted to get his thoughts on this day, on the commemoration of the anniversary, I guess I should say, of the attack on September the 11th. And Steve, as you know, is the editor-in-chief of Forbes magazine. He's the president of Forbes. He's a former presidential candidate, I should say. And he's our friend and a great American. Steve Forbes, welcome back to the show.
Good to be with you, Jim. How are you?
We're doing great. It's good to have you back. And I appreciate you joining us on this day as we commemorate and remember the lives of those 3,000 people who died, almost 3,000 people who died on September the 11th, 2001. Steve, you're a New York resident. Your offices are right there in the city, and you also, I think when I think of an American, I think of Steve Forbes, and I'd just like your thoughts now on, as we recognize this anniversary.
Well, I think that was like everyone else. It was a day I'll never forget. I was on my way to work, and we saw the plane hit the second tower, the South Tower. And that was the day that, as people have pointed out, our holiday with history came to an end.
Mm-hmm.
After the Cold War, we thought the world was a very different place. The world had changed, but human nature had not. And once again, we're fighting a foe that's determined to destroy our freedoms and has no compunction about the means. We saw that in Russia. We've seen it elsewhere. And I think that's why... It's fitting to commemorate September 11th because it reminds us once again what Jefferson said, that liberty requires eternal vigilance and sometimes the ultimate sacrifice.
About a month, well said, Steve, about a month after September the 11th, 2001, I wrote a piece called The Maintenance of Freedom, and I compared the maintenance of freedom to the maintenance of real estate. And the point that I was making there was that we had gone a long time without maintaining this wonderful asset that we have been given over the years by so many generations. We really had a lot of deferred maintenance in our freedoms, didn't we?
We certainly did, and we saw that in the way we ran down our intelligence services in the 1990s, especially on the ground. We did not have the resources or make the effort to get people inside these organizations so we could get the real-time information. Our intelligence services weren't talking to one another. So there was sort of a feeling that that bad things would happen in the world, but our basic freedoms were secure. And we were bloodily shaken from that nice attitude on September 11th.
Well, and some of those things that you just mentioned were not just things that just atrophied or that just we allowed to just rot down. Some of those things were basically instituted by law, weren't they? Like the wall between the CIA and the FBI, and like making it a rule that we wouldn't deal with any undesirables to collect intelligence. I mean, those things were by government fiat, weren't they?
They were indeed, and it sort of reminds one of decades ago, before the Second World War, the Secretary of War, when told about some proposed spy operation, said, "Gentlemen, do not read other gentlemen's mail." And that kind of naive attitude, there's a bit of that in the 1990s, and we paid a horrific price for it. But one thing about this country is when we see that something has gone wrong, We eventually get it right, and our foes learn that you arouse this giant, and you're going to pay for it.
But, Steve, aren't you amazed at how many people still haven't connected the dots on what we were just talking about? Or at least they seem to not connect them.
I think most people have, but a lot of people like to think that, we can do this on the cheap, that we don't have to make any real changes in the way we live. And when you go for a period of time without an attack on American soil, there's kind of a complacency that creeps in. But then we get rudely shaken when a few months ago, about a year ago, we learned Libya was about to have atomic weapons.
Right.
We see Iran is now about to get atomic weapons.
Steve, hold that thought. I've got to take a break here. We're going to take a quick one, folks. We'll be right back with our good friend Steve Forbes. After these messages, it's 22. Stay with us.
I spend a lot of money and I spend a lot of time.
We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're visiting with our friend Steve Forbes, ladies and gentlemen, and Steve's joining us to help us commemorate this third anniversary of the attacks on America, September the 11th. Steve, Ted Olson, whose wife Barbara was killed in the plane that crashed into the Pentagon, had a piece in the USA Today this week, and he listed some of the other issues that some of the other events that terrorists have perpetrated in the last few weeks that were basically all but one was unrelated to Iraq. I mean, these are other issues, things that happened in Russia, for example, and things that happened in Indonesia. And, you know, one of the things I came up with a list of what I call the top 10 things I believe to be true about the war on terror. And one of them is this. The first one actually is this. All people who are free or who want to be, regardless of where they live on planet Earth, are in a global war against radical Islamic terrorists. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. And one thing I think that perhaps some people are confused about is the notion you can have a global movement. It doesn't mean that all the parts work collectively, that there's some central center masterminding this thing. One of the reasons it's such a tough battle is precisely they are decentralized. They are have self-contained cells. They have no central direction. They do share a basic hatred of the United States and the West and liberties that we take for granted. And they do their own freelancing, do their own acts of terror. So you get one cell, but that means you still have to root out the others.
Absolutely. Well, and there are so many different cells out there across the world, and many of them are only somewhat connected in terms of command and control. It's almost as if anybody who has an axe to grind creates their own little terrorist cell and starts perpetrating evil things.
That's right, but we should also though keep in mind. And I think this administration knows it, and that is that you work hard to deny these people sanctuaries where they can easily get money, can easily get training. And one of the things we're going to have to deal with sooner rather than later is the major source of, still the major source of terrorist funding, and that is Iran.
Right.
Which itself is about to get nuclear weapons. And that's going to be the next crisis point.
Well, one of my fifth list of things I believe about the war on terror is that success in the war on terror will not come to the naive, the passive, or the squeamish. And that made me, you talking about Iran made me think about that. By not being passive or squeamish or naive about terrorism, as you mentioned earlier, Libya basically laid down their nuclear program. I mean, basically, Gaddafi says, I don't want you to open up a can of Rumsfeld on me over here. And so they laid down their weapons, and if we can't get Iran to do the same thing, then we're going to have to deal with them eventually, aren't we?
We certainly are, and it's going to come, I think, in the next few months, because the Iranians have made it very clear Not much is going to stop them from pursuing this nuclear program. They're saying now they'll accept diplomats from Europe to come over and chat about it, but that's what they always do. They always go to the table, but at the end of the day, you end up with nothing.
Well, another, when it comes to Iran, I mean, those people, that government is a good friend to any terrorists, aren't they?
They certainly are. They're the major source of the insurgency in Iraq. I wouldn't be surprised if some of their money found their way to Chechnya in Russia.
Mm-hmm.
They're all over the place. And that's why if we effectively deal with Iran one way or the other, then I think that would be a huge blow to global terrorism. That's the biggest source of terrorism left, that in North Korea.
Is the thing that happened? The thing that happened in the school in Russia, is that catastrophe, that tragedy, could that be the thing that, in a perverse way, almost that galvanizes more global leaders to realize that this is not just about America. This is not about Americans being cowboys or ugly Americans. This is not about Iraq.
I think eventually, over time, it will, and no one will admit it. No one likes to lose face. But these terrorists spare no one. And one of the mistakes I think the terrorists may have made is that they went after actively the Saudi Arabian government, the Egyptian government, the Russian government. You got to have some friends in this world if you're a terrorist. Somebody's going to give you sanctuary when the heat is put on you. And they're systematically alienating everyone who might have turned a blind eye to them in the past.
Mm-hmm. Steve, I called the attacks by Al Qaeda, their whole reason for being and all the things that they do. I've called it ironic barbarism, and the reason I called it ironic was because the same people who want to take us back to the Stone Age very effectively use our technology, the newest things that we have, for their own purposes. That's what I call an ironic form of barbarism. What do you think about that?
Well, that's right. They want to use modern tools to go back in time. And
what's wrong with that picture?
You know, they love the fruits of modern times. They just don't like the fact you need freedom to get those fruits.
Right.
That's why every time they've come into power, when the Taliban ruled Afghanistan, it just turns into a dump heap of disease, starvation, and death.
Right. Steve, hold on to that thought. Folks, when we come back, we got one more segment with Steve Forbes. And when we come back, I'm going to ask Steve if he thinks it's possible that we could lose the war on terror. Tintel, stay with us. We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the small business advocate. Steve Forbes is our guest and our good friend, a longtime member of our Brain Trust, the editor-in-chief of Forbes magazine, the president of Forbes organization, former presidential candidate, and as I said earlier, folks, a great American. Steve, why don't you give us your website, please?
Our website is Forbes.com. Mine is sforbes@forbes.com. But www.forbes.com, I think it's easy to access. It's got a lot of relevant information, the news, as well as the insight of our editors, our online editors. And, Jim, we're now averaging over 7 million unique visits each month. We're
wow.
Now the number one among business publications.
Congratulations.
The number one website in the world.
Congratulations, and that's and it's profitable too. That's the cool thing, isn't it?
It's amazing. I still pinch myself. Things turn cash flow positive.
Congratulations on that, and don't forget, folks, the Forbes magazine, which is available by subscription and on the newsstands. And Steve, I suspect you've got some things coming up in your editions here for 9/11 commemorating 9/11.
We do indeed, and on the website as well, and our show, Forbes on Fox, which is comes on tomorrow morning, there'll be a special edition of that focused around 9/11.
And I know many of you have seen Steve and the other folks there on Forbes on Fox on Saturday morning. And you guys do a good job in that too, by the way, Steve. Steve, I want to read number 8, 9, and 10 of my top 10 list of things that I believe to be true about terrorism. Number 8, by themselves, terrorists cannot defeat us. They can only create circumstances that diminish our resolve and cause us to defeat ourselves. And number 9 is that I believe that the future of the free world is now at stake. And number 10, this is, well, I'll tell you what, before I get into that, I want to ask your thoughts on those two things. That we can't, if terrorists can't defeat us, really, we can only defeat ourselves. What are your thoughts on that?
Oh, that's very true, and that's why they perpetrate these acts. They know that in a strict military sense, they have no chance against us, but they figure if they demoralize us, then they can undermine us, like a rot undermining a great tree or a building.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I have said many times before, one of the things that I started thinking about after the attack of 9/11, I started thinking about the fact that evil is easier to leverage than good. America stands for good. Terrorists stand for evil. But it is easier for them to leverage what they want to do, evil, than it is. I mean, 19 people killed 3,000 people.
That's right.
That's evil being able to leverage what it wants to do easier than good than what good people do. And so in that way, they have an advantage, don't they?
They do in the short term because we can't have armed sentinels around everything that they might wish to attack. I think that is why this war is going to be a long-term one. But I think we should not be disheartened by that, because if we do as we're doing, improve our intelligence, relentlessly pursue them in every part of the world, keep them on the defensive, dry up their sources of funding, eventually the thing will, the temperature will start to fall. They won't be able to put together major acts of terror. What they did on September 11th, Jim, took a lot of coordination,
yep,
a lot of preparation,
and patience,
a lot of time. They're not going to have that in the future.
A lot of patience, too. Steve, I believe the future of the free world is at stake, and I'm about to say something that might shock you, and I would like your thoughts on this. My number 10 thing in the top 10 list of things I believe to be true about the war on terror is that it is possible that we could lose the war on terror. What do you think?
We could, and we've seen great societies in the past get undermined. But I think what I take heart from is, despite mistakes made by our leaders from time to time, I think the American people have demonstrated time and again in our over 200-year existence that when our freedoms are at stake, we rise to the occasion.
Well, well said, Steve, but we can't let them, we've got to let politics take a back seat to nationalism. We've got to let partisan politics take a back seat to our survival, and we've got to make sure that we focus on being Americans and being free people and not being Republicans or Democrats. And that's one of the reasons why I'm looking forward to this election being over, so we can get back to doing that. Steve Forbes, thank you.
The terrorists on 9/11 made no distinction between Republicans and Democrats.
That's exactly right. Or men or women or children. Absolutely.
Right.
Steve Forbes, thank you for being here. Good job today, as always. And
thank you, Jim.
Thank you for all the work that you do, and God bless America, Steve.
Right on.
We'll see you next time. Steve Forbes, ladies and gentlemen. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. I'll be right back. Don't go away.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.